Today on Wings, a rather rollicking film about the breast cancer experience.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
The creators of the film All Wigged Out were interviewed for the following episode of Her Turn, a collectively produced weekly radio series that has graced the airwaves of community station WORTFM, Madison, Wisconsin, for about 46 years.
Welcome to Her Turn, a program of news and information from a feminist perspective. I'm Arlene Zalcher. A special half hour today, What Does It Mean to Be All Wigged Out? That's the name of a new documentary by the longtime folk duo of Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. The movie is full of music, laughs, and tears, but most of all, it's full of love, and it's a call to empowerment in the face of a life-threatening illness. So stay tuned.
Some people think of their cancer experience as a journey. But for me, cancer is a lot more like being dragged through a car wash. First, they hook you on a chain. And they've got you. They drag you in the tunnel, spray you down, hit you with soap, while strips go back and forth. I can't see. Big wheel scrubbers spin. They check your undercarriage.
That's Marcy Marxer, bringing her playful, quirky, and insightful twist to breast cancer. She was diagnosed in 2015, and just 4 years later, she and her longtime partner, Kathy Fink, started putting her story together in the way they do best, with music, and with a commitment to community. Their new film is called All Wigged Out. I talked with them after a performance at the National Women's Music Festival over the July 4th weekend.
Hi, I'm Kathy Fink.
I'm Marcy Marxer.
We're here today to talk about your personal experience of going through breast cancer and breast cancer treatment, and you turned it into a movie. So can you tell us why you did that?
Marcy's breast cancer experience, which spills over to mine as her partner and her caregiver during that time, started about 7 years ago, I think. And that's when her diagnosis happened. And about 3 years ago, we started creating a theater piece. It was supposed to be a one-woman, Marcy by herself theater piece, telling her story, which overlaps with many people's stories, but also has some very unique aspects to it, including the fact that as a Grammy-winning musician and virtuoso instrumentalist, Marcy ended up getting total neuropathy. She couldn't touch an instrument. She could barely walk, and she made a complete comeback. And that's triumphant. It's a story of hope, but along with it, there are many other aspects that talk about advocacy, caregiving, patient care, talking with your doctor, a lot of the surprises that come along the way. And Marcy's clearly the star of the show. I'm in the cast as band leader and a couple of characters, and we have a fantastic female bass player from Chicago, Stacey McMichael, and a wonderful drummer, Janet Kramer.
How would you label the film?
Well, it is different. As a genre, musical documentary says it pretty well. It is about cancer, but at the crux of it, it's really about struggle. It's about getting through difficult times, being support for someone else, and getting support for yourself, how to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. And many of us in life know what that's like. It takes practice to be in a situation that you have to push so hard to get through, whatever that situation is, if it's health or if it's other things in life. And it takes practice to know how to help someone, to empathize without putting your own values on that person. Just try to bring them along and do what you can and shine some light. And I've also, I really hadn't thought of that as much since people started watching the film. And a 13-year-old girl came up to me and said, "You're telling my story. I'm celebrating the first year of my life not being in the hospital for sickle cell." And another man sitting there with his wife, who had a mask on and a wig, and he just put his arm around her, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "I'm her Kathy." So, I mean, it applies to many situations.
Yeah, and I think this is not a traditional documentary, but it is a nonfiction story. We didn't make up one piece of this. It all really happened. What we did was we put it together in an entertaining format. And to Marcy's credit, she's an incredible comedian. There are some hilarious moments, and even some of the sad moments are just a little bit funny at times. It's not our goal to create art that makes people bummed out. It's our goal to create art that empowers people. And when we screened this at the National Women's Music Festival and we had a nice Q&A with Gilda's Club here in Madison, Marcy said, I think one of the most important things, it's really about helping people take their power in these moments. Comedy gives hope. Bummers don't give that much hope. So we tell the truth here. There's a very poignant scene about Marcy's neuropathy, and you can hear a pin drop. And we have yet to meet somebody who watches the film and doesn't tell us that they learned something they didn't know.
I'm wondering, were there any differences being a lesbian?
There would have been years ago, but I came to an age when I refused to have a doctor that I couldn't be totally honest with. In my early life, I had a couple of experiences with doctors who had real problems with any gay person. And I should have reported them, and I didn't know at the time, but I sure would now. I had a great medical team, and I was up front from the very first second. Things have changed in the medical world. They really have. So if anybody ever has an issue that they need to talk to a doctor about and they're afraid to let them know who they really are, go to a different doctor.
I totally agree. Underneath the rest of this story is a 40-year love story. And honestly, you could call it a gay love story, but I don't actually think it matters. It's a story about two people who love each other dearly and are going to walk to the end of the earth with each other if that's what it takes. People who were in the live audience when we filmed the musical, what they saw was love. They weren't looking at one kind of love or another kind of love. I think that's important as well, and a step forward.
Like you said, it is hilarious. Everybody can relate in some way. And I wrote down this quote I remember from some author, Jewish author, I believe, that said, "In every tear a laugh, and in every laugh a tear." And it seemed like some of that was in the film and in your experience. I don't know if you have a comment about that.
You know, I do. And we're not trying to downplay anything, any true experience. But for me personally, what I've learned over the years of going through some severe hard times is that I find it personally easier if I can find ways to laugh. I tried to crack up my doctors, I tried to crack up other patients in all kinds of ways. Kathy and I would like wear Rastafarian wigs to the chemo to make everybody laugh in the room, or dress up or sing funny songs, that kind of thing. There are some people you can joke with and some people you really can't joke with. So you have to know where that line is. And I find if I'm talking about my own body and my own experience in a funny way, it's less threatening than saying blanket statements that apply to everybody's body. Like, I've noticed that I can talk about my breasts in any way I want to, and people think it's funny, but I wouldn't talk about somebody else's personal experience at all. I totally respect people's privacy, and I understand people's privacy. It's just not how I respond. Like, in the mammogram, actually saying to the technician, once it's really cranking down, does this thing ever get stuck? I never expected her response to be, not as much as the old ones did. It's like, what? What did they have to do? Bring in the workmen to get somebody out of it? I don't want to know about that. But it's funny, you know, and it was funny to me at the time, too. It kind of broke my own ice.
Well, and I think that's another thing that the film does, is it makes people more comfortable talking about their own experience. I remember many, many years ago where the C word, cancer, that was like a big secret. The few people that I knew as a kid who had breast cancer, you didn't say it out loud. Well, there's nothing dirty about it. There are many things wrong, but there's nothing wrong about saying it out loud. And we get the most support when we're up front and we do say things out loud. We're going to have to say it a lot more to get the help, to get the studies, the protocols, to get that work done. We even know some men who have had breast cancer. Of course, that's an unusual circumstance, but everyone needs to be comfortable saying it, researching it, knowing how to help people.
Have you ever gotten the feedback, though, that you're just too positive?
We approach every challenging day with, what's the best I can do with this day? Not, what's the worst I can feel today?
And cancer, any kind of cancer, is serious. It's just serious. Some people have said to me, well, my case wasn't as bad as yours. You know, that's not true. When you hear that word the first time, it's a knife. It's very, very difficult. But to have that cancer in your private areas of your body, that's horrifying. And it actually was for me, too. I had to get used to the idea. It's just a fine line, you know? If she's angry, she's just got to be angry until she's not angry anymore.
Were you ever angry?
I wasn't angry, but I was so sad that I couldn't play music. I played guitar since I was 5 years old. I couldn't imagine a time when I couldn't play music. In fact, I'll tell you honestly, my big complaint to my oncologist was that I couldn't play music, and she wasn't taking it very seriously. And I kept saying, you know, but I can't play music. So she actually said, well, she kind of rolled her eyes and said, has this affected your life in any other way than playing music? And I said, well, I can't wear shoes or pants.
And that she understood.
Yeah.
But the hard thing was getting her to understand that playing music is Marcy's life.
Yeah.
It's not just her life and spiritually what she lives for. It's also her livelihood, you know.
And my social life.
That's something we had to really hound into the doctor. I get it. They're very busy. They have a lot of patients. But each person is their own person. There could be some people for whom neuropathy was not as devastating. But in Marcy's case, it was. And it was a challenge to get the doctor to take that seriously enough. The other thing is that Marcy has this sweet kind of voice. And even when she's telling the truth and she's being really extremely clear with her words, her tone of voice does not make them pay attention. And that's when Kathy comes in and says, okay, we're going to repeat this now, and we're going to listen to it, and we're going to discuss what's really important. Because I'm not actually sure that you fully listened to what Marcy was saying or that you understood. And the doctor would look at me like, help. And literally, it's in the play, but the doctor's ready to leave the room, and I go, no, you can't leave yet. And she's got other patients waiting. I'm going, you get to leave when I'm finished with my list. I have 10 things on my list, and when you have answered all these questions and we've checked off all these things, then you get to leave. You know, I think that's a piece of advocacy, regardless of serious illnesses. I always think it is great for a person to go in there with a friend, companion, helper, advocate, partner. That person is going to be the advocate. That person's going to take the notes. You want to make sure that two people are hearing so that you figure out what really got said.
We're listening to Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer talking about their new film, All Wigged Out, and what they learned and how they coped with a breast cancer diagnosis and its treatment. They had a lot of friends who weighed in, sometimes more or less helpfully. One of the funniest but also pointed parts of the film talks about unsolicited advice.
A lot of us have good ideas, the simple and profound. Here's a word of caution before spreading them around. Unsolicited advice. Some folks think it isn't nice, so I better think twice. No unsolicited advice. Life can use a little spice, like adding flavor to life's rice. But I'm just rolling the dice with unsolicited advice.
People have a really hard time imagining what cancer actually is and what it feels like and the treatment that you're going through. So suffering for any reason, to put their own experience on that and put a little spin, and it's just not helpful. The most helpful thing is to talk to the person. If they feel like talking, great. If they don't feel like talking, great. But don't initiate things from your own experience on them, even if it's a past cancer experience, really. Chances are your friend knows it and they can ask you questions. But I found that a lot of advice and stereotypes were heaped on me, even from some past cancer patients. In a typical situation with Taxol, the average number of infusions is 4. And not that anything is average. People who experience 4 have a very different experience than someone like me who experienced 12, you know.
11.
11. I didn't make it to the 12th one. I found that, you know, people who had experienced 4 would come up to me and say, oh, you had how many? Oh, well, they must have given you less. I don't know how you could have done it that way. That's impossible. It's like, no, that's your experience. This is my experience. People said all kinds of crazy things to me, like, what are your chances? And one of them that was really interesting was, stay positive. With no clue of how to stay positive. And for me, the way to stay positive was just to always have some kind of a plan, even if it was little, or if I was in the hospital and they gave me a gown that didn't fit, you know, I wasn't gonna put up with that. You know, it's like, give me another one I can put on top, or give me a bigger one. Give me one that allows me to put my arms down, you know, but just to speak up.
Feeling empowered, speaking up, as Marcy Marxer says, helped her retain her dignity and personhood through what can be a very depersonalizing experience. What also helps? Having a support system. Kathy Fink picks up the story.
We did something we rarely ever do, which is we co-wrote a song. And we were kind of forced into it. We had been closing the show with the song L-O-V-E, L-da-da-da-da-da. But we knew for the film that we were never going to get the rights. And if we did get the rights, that we couldn't afford it. So we realized, oh, we're going to have to come up with something there. And I did round one on the song Two Peas in a Pod, and then called Marcy in and said, what do you think of this? Do you think we can do something with this? And she had the idea that we could complete each other's sentences throughout the song, and it really is our story in reality, and it's a comedy, and it's a swing song, and it has this complicated wordplay.
Two voices in unison to make a song hum. You complete my sentence, you finish my meal, you steal my. That's part of the deal. You have to.
One of the things that has amazed me about making this film is how many people jumped to support it. Most people know us, some people don't. Some were big surprises. Holly Neer helped support it. Some people that I'm big fans of, like her, supported it, and we're getting a lot of love from this.
We are constantly developing different ideas on how to get the film out there and how it's part of our work. By example, being here at the National Women's Music Festival and doing a post-film Q&A with Gilda's Club and the cancer support community. That's one of the models that we're building. We're going to be doing that at the Freight and Salvage Club in Berkeley, California in October. And we're working with three different cancer support communities plus a group called Notes for Hope. So in addition to film festivals and in addition to the dream of getting distribution on Netflix or Hulu or somebody who's streaming, we want to see the film serve healthcare communities. We're looking at it from the point of view of narrative medicine and medical humanities. We are in conversations with some hospitals about showing it particularly to their doctors, because we feel it will make their doctors understand more what their patients are going through. We're actually contracted to do a program with the American Nurses Association. They're going to show the film for 2 weeks. People can log into a certain place and watch the film at their own convenience. But then we have two set specific programs that we're going to do on Zoom with Q&A, with other information. And we're in discussions, for instance, with University of Maryland Medical Centers. I think there are other healthcare organizations where showing this film is beneficial, and particularly with the cancer support community. So I think in terms of your question of how this fits into our work, 3/4 of the work that we've done musically has a purpose that goes beyond the music. Some of it is, hell, let's just play music, you know. But when you look at our album Shout and Shine, it was really specifically about helping to open the doors to more diversity in bluegrass and old-time music, and also for more people to get to know Sam Gleaves. When you look at our album Dancing in the Kitchen, Songs for All Families, it was really the first album since Marlo Thomas did Free to Be a Family that addressed diverse families. That's an agenda. We partnered some with the Human Rights Campaign in that project. Bon Appetit Musical Food Fund was really about finding a fun way to get kids and families to think about healthy lifestyles. So this is similar to those projects, but its own thing. Our goal is to see how can we partner to get this out to the most number of people, because there is no one who isn't impacted by cancer. Maybe you don't get cancer, but you're going to know somebody who gets cancer, and you're going to want to do right. You're not going to want to give the unsolicited advice, but then you're going to wonder, what the hell can I do that's really helpful? And by having these post-show discussions, we have an opportunity to make it easier for everybody.
Kathy and I really cut our teeth in the folk scene, and Pete Seeger took us under his wing along with some other people, because what we love is having interaction between an audience and ourselves. So we really want to hear from people. We want to know what they're thinking. We want to talk to them afterwards. We want to be able to sing songs that relate to their lives and seeks out injustice, but also, like with kids stuff, kind of makes fun of some things that maybe parents and kids argue about, or give them some musical nutrition. And I think that's one reason why Pete in particular kind of took us under his wing, and we get to work with him quite a lot. And I had always admired that about Pete. I know that Kathy has too, the way he got everybody involved. If it was singing or if it was a call to action, Pete was right there. And the communication part of this film, I find totally exhilarating. When people come up and tell me their stories afterwards, especially their stories that I just don't expect, like from a little black girl, you know, saying, this is my life. It's like, wow, that is so amazing. And to have her have a smile on her face while she's telling me about it, because she recognizes the kinship. Art doesn't get better than that.
People who are listening to this are going to want to know how you're doing. I heard you play, so I know your hands are doing great. But how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been off all medications for over a year, and it's making a difference to be off everything. And I'm looking at the future, and I still have the world's best caretaker and protector in Kathy. And we're out playing music, and we're having a great time. So yeah, life moves on.
Oh, I'll take the last word. It has been quite an experience. You have to be enormously patient to create this kind of vision and then follow it through. But the dream here is that we use our talent as storytellers and musicians to empower other people. And if people want to get involved, they can contact us through our website, kathymarcy.com. They can look at the trailer on the website. There's an All Wigged Out tab at the top. And as far as how Marcy's doing, she's still a nut, but she was a nut before. So, and her talent is off the charts. She does still deal with some neuropathy that will be with her for life. But, you know, this whole thing about how can you be so positive? I don't think it's an easy choice for everyone, but it's a choice that we made. And we had the internal power to make that choice. And I would say that if you're in that situation and you're finding it difficult to have the internal power to make that choice, that's where the cancer support centers come in. That's where the right support system can help you. And don't give up on it. Take your power.
Been listening to Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser talking about their musical documentary, All Wigged Out, co-written with Andy Offen Irwin. To find out more, you can go to kathymarcy.com, kathymarcy.com. A number of folks are working to bring the movie to the Wisconsin Film Festival next year. If you're interested, you can contact the festival at wifilmfest.org. Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser have been playing together for almost 40 years. They are two-time Grammy Award winners and just released their 50th recording. For her turn, I'm Arlene Zoucha.
No way to wait and meditate, or otherwise negate the plan in place. That chair was empty as it sat, so it and I got out of chat, for in its habitat begat my fate.
Wings thanks Arlene Zoucha and Community Radio WORT-FM in Madison, Wisconsin, for the use of their August 14, 2022 episode of Her Turn. Thanks also to all the Wings supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found on the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden, Wings series producer. For more information, email wings@wings.org. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.